I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held talks in the White House today, a day after Obama's major address on the recent turbulence in the Middle East. The president said the discussion was extremely constructive.
I once again can reaffirm that the extraordinarily close relationship between the United States and Israel is sound and will continue. And that together, hopefully, we are going to be able to work to usher in a new period of peace and prosperity in a region that is going to be going through some very profound transformations.
Yesterday, President Obama proposed that Israel's pre-1967 borders should be a starting point for negotiations over a Palestinian state. But today, Prime Minister Netanyahu signaled to the Americans and the Palestinians that he can't accept that.
I think for there to be peace, the Palestinians will have to accept some basic realities. The first is that while Israel is prepared to make generous compromises for peace, it cannot go back to the 1967 lines. Because these lines are indefensible, because they don't take into account certain changes that have taken place on the ground, demographic changes that have taken place over the last 44 years.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking today at the White House. This afternoon, The World's Matthew Bell in Jerusalem explained to me why Israel rejects any talk of returning to its pre-1967 border.
Israel says the 1967 border, Marco, is really irrelevant today, and that's what it all comes down to, is the fact that the president mentioned the 1967 border. It's partly because of all the changes that have happened on the ground here since 1967. We're talking about the old green line, and that is the dividing line between Israel and the Jordanian-controlled West Bank and Jordanian-controlled East Jerusalem. There was the Six-Day War in 1967. Israel won the war, took control of all of Jerusalem, all of the West Bank. Since then, it has annexed East Jerusalem, and then Israelis have built settlements in a ring around East Jerusalem and then in many parts of the West Bank. Now, Israel rejects the idea that it has to give up all of the settlements, all of East Jerusalem, and I think that's what officials are responding to, is just that part of President Obama's statement when he referred to the 1967 borders, because it tends to be on the Israeli right, they'll say, this is just unfeasible. We're not going to give up half of our capital and all the settlements, especially all the big settlements. There are 500,000 Israelis who live in East Jerusalem and the West Bank, and that's sort of what leads to the comment that we heard right after the speech last night from the Prime Minister's office, that said these borders are indefensible.
Well, a lot of American presidents over the years have referred to those borders pre-67 war. How is what President Obama laid out yesterday so different from what other U.S. presidents have said?
I think, Marco, the difference here is really in rhetorical emphasis and the way that President Obama explicitly mentioned the 1967 border. I don't see a policy shift here, especially when you hear the qualifications that President Obama has added. He said right afterwards that the mutually agreed land swaps are necessary. He didn't say hard and fast Israel has to go back to the 1967 border. That's a pretty vague statement, mutually agreed land swaps. You can kind of read into it what you want. On the Israeli right, and then in the United States, you've got many Republicans going crazy about this because they're hearing 1967 borders and thinking that President Obama is going to try to push the Israelis farther than they would be comfortable with. The thing is, Marco, the president consciously and disappointingly to some people did not provide a lot of details last night. And I think what he's trying to say to both parties is that they need to get back to the negotiating table, there's no other way to solve these problems, and that they need to pick up where they left off. There have been 18-19 years of negotiations. I think he's saying, let's get to it and try to get to a final agreement.
You know, a lot has been made about the personal chemistry between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu. They say without that chemistry, there's little chance any deal can be struck between Israel and the Palestinians. And Matthew, you've been doing some reporting on that. Let's hear your story right now. Barack Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu are not believed to be the very best of friends, far from it. As the New York Times put it, they don't trust each other. At other times in history, American presidents and Israeli prime ministers have developed close bonds. Bush and Sharon, for example, Clinton and Rabin, these leaders had chemistry. The question is, how much does it matter if Mr. Obama and Mr. Netanyahu don't?
I think that President Obama will turn to him what we call the cold shoulder, but it's not practical. It doesn't mean anything.
Danny Rubenstein is a veteran Israeli journalist and lecturer at Ben-Gurion University.
It doesn't matter whether it will be a cold or it will be warm, it will be without chemistry or with chemistry. It doesn't play any role here. It's not important at all. What's important is practically what you're doing.
But as one former Israeli negotiator told me, getting things done in the world of diplomacy is easier when leaders are genuinely close. It makes communication more efficient, and it makes it a whole lot easier for lower-level officials to collaborate. David Horowitz, editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, says personal relationships absolutely matter because often they're indicative of something else, something that could cause real problems. Horowitz recalls the last time Benjamin Netanyahu was Israel's prime minister back in the late 90s.
Why did Clinton and Netanyahu not get on terribly well? Was it because, you know, he had a soft handshake or he didn't like his tie or couldn't stand his wife? Well, I doubt if those were the central factors. More likely it was because each thought that the other stood for certain things, personally, politically, I don't know, that the other didn't approve of.
Whether or not this U.S. president and the Israeli prime minister actually get along behind closed doors, there is always the issue of perception, and this couldn't be more true now. If Mr. Obama is no fan of Mr. Netanyahu, Horowitz says Israelis might see that as a reflection of the way the U.S. president views their nation.
There's a very widespread sense that Obama has empathy for Israel in its pre-67 dimensions and not a great deal of empathy for Israeli security, religious, and historic desires to, however marginally, expand sovereignty into Judea and Samaria, into the West Bank. And I think that Obama is not convinced of Netanyahu's readiness to make dramatic compromise.
But other analysts suggest the lack of chemistry between Mr. Obama and Mr. Netanyahu might actually be helpful. It's much easier to cajole, to push, maybe even to threaten, the thinking goes, if you're not worried about hurting your friend's feelings.
The World's Matthew Bell there reporting from Jerusalem. And since we still got you on the line, Matthew, one more question for you. President Obama says that the recent uprisings across the Arab world have made the drive for a lasting peace between the Israeli and Palestinian people more urgent than ever. Is that true? Is that square from what you see in Israel?
Marco, Israel is very much in a right-wing mood. It's got a right-wing government, a right-wing prime minister in Benjamin Netanyahu. And generally speaking, the Israeli right sees this conflict with the Arabs, with the Palestinians, as not being about 1967, but being about 1948. That's the year that Israel became a state. And when they say that, what they mean is they don't think giving the Palestinians a state would lead to a long-term solution or give Israel sort of a more normal relationship with its neighbors. They think the Arabs want to undo the creation of Israel.
The World's Matthew Bell in Jerusalem.